Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come into thy holy presence this evening. And Lord, we thank thee for the privilege that is ours once again to come and to claim thee as our own tonight. We thank the Lord for the promise of God the Holy Spirit. And Heavenly Father, we claim that promise tonight. Come, O God, we pray. Minister, Lord, in this place tonight we ask of thee. Lord, we pray you'll help thy servant as he would minister to us in song. Lord, we pray you'll give him great help, and Lord, especially as he would break the bread of life. Lord, as he would open his heart to us tonight, we pray, Lord, that there'll be that readiness and that receptiveness of heart, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night, on this final Lord's Day of this old year, Lord, may sinners come and, Lord, place their faith and trust alone in Jesus Christ for salvation. Lord, make it a blessed night. Make it a good night. Lord, we pray that we'll rejoice with the angels in heaven over sinners coming in repentance. Lord, bless us tonight. Lord, give us a blessed time in the house of God. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are delighted this evening to welcome back to Sandown our good friend, brother in the Lord, our brother Philip Bowles. He's going to come and minister to us in song a couple of times now and then a little later on as well. Lord bless you, Philip. And thank you for being with us.
A promise and a song, a word.
Philip, thank you so much in the Saviour's name for those lovely messages and song. And what a question to be asked at the end of this year: do you know the Saviour? Not asking you, do you know about him? Not asking you, do you know many things about him, but do you know him personally? Is he your Saviour? As you come to the end of 2020, can you say, he is my Saviour? He is my friend? It's our prayer, our desire that tonight, that before you come to leave this meeting, and as God's servant opens the Word of God, that you would come to know him as your Saviour, and that you would end this year with Jesus Christ in your heart. Lord bless you, Philip. Thank you. We're going to give him a wee rest for a minute or two, and then he'll come back, sing one more piece, and then bring the Word of God. But we are delighted to see all who have joined with us tonight. We want to thank you for coming to this, our final gospel service of 2020. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your dedication to the work of God throughout what has been a very different year for all of us. But we're thankful to you coming so faithfully Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and glad to see you again tonight in the house of the Lord. Do also welcome those who are visiting and watching online. We want to welcome you to wherever you're tuning in to the broadcast from tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you, and thank you for being a part of our wider congregation tonight. Just a very few announcements that I would ask you please to keep in mind. We have no other meeting in the church this week apart from on Thursday evening. This Thursday evening, normally Thursday night would have been our watch night service, but because of the curfew that we will be under this week, we are not able to meet together at that time. But we are going to meet nonetheless at 6:30. And we'd love to see all of the church congregation, your family, coming out for that special service on Thursday evening at 6:30. It will be over well in time for you to get home. It'll be over less than an hour. It'll be short. It'll be informal. And we want you to be a part of it. So we'd love you to come and join with us as we end the year in God's house this Thursday night, 6:30, and plan to be with us if you can, please. Then next Lord's Day, the Sunday school and the Bible class are still off for another week. But we used to have our main services 11:30 and 6:30. 11:30 and 6:30. I'll be here to preach in the will of the Lord at both of those meetings. And then in the evening time, our brother Jonathan Logan will be here to sing. And we trust that you'll be a part of our congregation again next Lord's Day. Do continue to remember those who are in need, those in the congregation who are sick, and pray for them at this time. Also, draw your attention again to the church envelopes. They are still available for those who have yet to take them up. Take them with you tonight, and you can start using them from next Lord's Day. There are no offerings being taken up during the services at this time, but there are boxes there on the door as you leave from downstairs, and also from the gallery. There's one at the bottom of the stairs for you to put your offerings and tithes in. So we've said it is our privilege tonight to welcome our brother Philip. We've enjoyed many times of blessing with him, and we've always enjoyed his ministry and song, and we're looking forward to hearing him preach as well tonight. Philip, you know you're amongst friends tonight. The Lord bless you, and the Lord help you. We're going to come and sing one more piece for us, and then come and bring the Word of God to our hearts, and the Lord richly bless you. Thank you.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It's lovely to be with you tonight. It's a lot taller up here than I thought, which is interesting. Great to be with you tonight. And as the TV and the screen tell you, I want you to turn to Amos chapter 4 tonight. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4. If you wondered why I picked such an awkward reading, go to Matthew and work back a few books. Or go to the index and just find the book there and go straight to it. Amos chapter 4. And I want to just think very simply tonight on the title, Are You Ready to Meet God? Are you ready to meet God? Amos chapter 4. And we'll just take time to read the whole chapter here tonight. Garth picked a good night. We're on curfew, so I can't go over any of my time. Amos chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, Bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Amen. And we know that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. You know, tonight as we come, I want to focus in on verse 12 and a couple of words there that I'm sure you're all very familiar with. Prepare to meet thy God. But it's always good when we come to Scripture just to consider the context of it and the background to it. And who is speaking here? Well, it's Amos. Little is known about Amos other than what he tells us within these chapters. He's self-described as a herdsman and a gatherer of the sycamore fruit. His name can mean burden, maybe a reflection of the weight that he felt upon him as he sought to warn the people of Israel about their sin, over her sin. So we have a simple picture then tonight of a man from a humble background, selected by God to be his spokesman within a nation, a prosperous nation guilty of social evils, injustice, and sin. Think of the period, consider the time period in which this was written. The land of Judah and Israel, King Uzziah was on the throne. You can read that in chapter 1, verse 1. And Jeroboam was ruling in Israel. King Uzziah was loyal, and he encouraged loyalty to Jehovah, the things of God, whereas his counterpart, Jeroboam, was committed to idolatry and different systems of religion. However, militarily, the nation was strong. Israel was strong. They were in a good place. Economically, they were booming. The nation was thriving. They didn't need much resources for war, and in an economy, that's always important. And it was growing from strength to strength. Profits, not people, were important. And the nation was on the rise. Wages mattered more than war. And of course, as we know, even from history, and if you study any sort of economics, generally speaking, the more prosperous a nation is, the more chance there is of less interest in God. Immorality can creep in, and immorality and idolatry as people take their focus off God because they think they have everything they need. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you the parallel tonight between the passage that we've read and the situation that I've described to what we have in Northern Ireland. Now, I know that we're in a relative peace, and that's a wonderful thing, to live in a relatively peaceful country. And I know that we have a relatively prosperous economy, at least we did until March of this year, and then it all changed. But even so, despite the impact of COVID, the government has a furlough scheme, and there's different safety nets that are there to help us. And relatively speaking, we are still a very prosperous nation. And yet, as we can see, there's social evils in our land. I don't need to tell you about them. You know all about them. Things that have been passed and things that happen in our land. And there's a relative moral decline. And after Amos has sought to warn people and to warn the people time after time, we read of famine, we read of drought, we read of young men being cut down, there was pestilence and worms came into the vineyards and the fig trees, all these different situations. And yet, what is the common phrase at the end of most of those? Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And so it is tonight, and so it is in Northern Ireland. There's so many different things maybe in your individual life. I don't know many of you here tonight, but maybe you've had things come into your life, different circumstances. Things have changed, and God's been trying to speak to you about maybe your need of salvation and being ready to meet God, and yet you still maybe say the same words, I have not returned unto you. And I want to just notice in verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. I want to just consider two really simple points. You've maybe never had a two-point sermon before from this platform, I don't know. Just two really simple points. I want to see a preparation that's required. Prepare to meet thy God. And I want to see then an appointment that's required. Prepare to meet thy God. What does it mean, prepared? What does it mean to be prepared? Well, we've just come through Christmas and all that that entails, and of course there's a preparation that needs to be made for Christmas. All you men were out in plenty of good time. Is it Forestside's the local place here? I don't know. It's Rushmere for me. But you were all out early and you got your presents sorted. You got them all wrapped. And well, they used to in Rushmere have a charity station. You could donate a few pounds and they wrapped it all for you. But that all went the way of COVID this year, so I was really stuck. Nearly had to enlist my sister-in-law to help me. But we got through it. You were prepared. You made preparation for Christmas. You got the presents, you got the food, you got it all sorted. So on the 25th, you were ready. And so it is, much more seriously, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared to meet God. I want to think tonight of those who are saved. What makes people who are saved ready to meet God? What makes me ready to meet God? Well, let me tell you right off the bat, it's nothing that I've done. But it's everything that the Lord has done for me. We have prepared to meet God. Unlike the people in this passage, we've heeded the gospel warnings. Maybe it was a sermon that you heard as a child or a young person, a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist faithfully telling you that you needed to be saved. Maybe it's a faithful wife, a faithful husband, a colleague at work, somebody that's witnessed to you and told you that you need to be ready. Well, how did they prepare? How did you prepare, if you are saved in the meeting tonight, how did you prepare to be ready? Well, certain things had to be put in order. We know that we were born and shapen in iniquity and in sin. We are sinners by nature. From our earliest days, we didn't have to learn to sin. The very youngest in the meeting tonight to the very oldest, we didn't have to learn how to sin. We knew that we couldn't save ourselves. Our sin separated us from God. And there was a great gulf fixed that we could never cross over because of our sin. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ through Calvary and what he did on the cross through his precious shed blood that means that we can have peace with God. What does it say in Scripture? God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, in Luke 23:33, there's a little verse in there that I love. It's one of those wee verses you could skip over really, really quickly. But in Luke 23:33, it says this, "But when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." They're talking, of course, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary, if I could put it like this, Calvary was the believer's preparation. Because of what happened at Calvary, the sacrifice of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to that cross, he became sin for us. My sin and yours was laid upon him at the place called Calvary. He suffered and he died, but praise the Lord, he rose again the third day. And now he lives in the power of an endless life, and he's able to save. He's mighty to save even unto the uttermost. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." I wonder tonight, can you say in your heart, you're like the believers here in the meeting, you're like those who are saved. What I've just reiterated to you tonight, you can identify with, because it's your story also. Have you made peace through the blood of his cross? And you can say from the depths of your heart that you know that the blood of Christ Jesus cleanses you from all sin. What about unbelievers who aren't prepared? Well, this is a different story. If there's no preparation made, what is the situation here? They don't know the joy of sins forgiven. They don't know peace with God. They don't know that everlasting salvation. And when an unbeliever dies, they're launched into a lost eternity or a place of torment. And one of the worst things about a place of torment is the fact that there's no recourse. There's no comeback. Once you're there, you cannot escape. There is no exit. And one day, as our text said, prepare to meet thy God. You will meet God as a sinner. You'll meet God as a sinner. What an awful thing to stand before the Lord as a sinner, knowing, as I have very feebly tried to tell you tonight, that you are a sinner, but that through the cross there is a way of salvation made, to stand before the Lord knowing that. I wonder tonight, have you grasped that once you pass through that door of death, there's no second chance, there's no comeback? What an awful thing to die unprepared, to die without Christ who died for you. You know, praise God tonight, and the Reverend Wilson mentioned this, is of course the last Sunday of 2020. God has spared you. If you're unsaved here tonight, God has spared you through another year. Another year. This time last year, we didn't know what a coronavirus, well, I didn't know what a coronavirus was. Didn't realize that you could now go into a bank wearing a mask and ask for money and they would actually give it to you with no recourse. Oh, how things have changed. But God has spared you through another year. And there's a lot of talk about tonight, quite rightly in some ways, you know, about the coronavirus, and we need to be careful, and there's a risk to life. Of course there is. But really we should fear death itself, not just a virus. People pass away every day from all sorts of things, whether it be accidents, whether it be illness, sudden illness, etc. And we'll get on to that in our second point. But God has spared you tonight. And he's brought you to this very building. Maybe you're listening online. You've tuned in tonight. God has given you another opportunity tonight to be forgiven of your sin and be prepared to meet God. Secondly, tonight, very quickly, the appointment required. Prepared to meet thy God. And you might be sitting here tonight wondering, well, you know, that's great, Philip, what you've explained so far, but why is it so important that I am prepared to meet God? Well, very simply, and I'm sorry to be so morbid, but we all must die. Somebody has said, I don't know who said it exactly, but there's only two things certain in life, death and taxes. Many people avoid tax, nobody avoids a physical death. And in Hebrews we read, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We all have a date with death, regardless of our age. And I hope tonight we all have a long and happy and healthy life, of course. But none of us knows the time nor the hour where we may be called into eternity. We all have that date in the calendar. You know how it is when you go to the dentist? I had to go recently. My sister-in-law fed me what she claims were mini eggs. I think it was concrete. But I ended up with half a tooth cracking in the lower part of my mouth. I had to go to the dentist. Nobody likes going. But you got the appointment. And if you really wanted to, you could rearrange the appointment. You could reschedule the appointment. Not so when it comes to the time of our departure from this earth. Every one of us has a time and a date set when we'll pass from this earth. For the believer tonight, whilst we might not know the exact time and date of our departure or our death, it holds no fear. There's no fear in death. Because when the believer dies in Christ with their sin forgiven, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. Yes, we had that appointed time of death. Our friends and our family will have been hopefully upset, and they'll have been sad, and there'll be grief. But the sting of death for the Christian has been plucked because we're with the Lord. We're in that place. We were freed from the chains of sin on this earth when we got saved, but praise God in heaven, we'll be free from even the very presence of sin. What a place heaven is. Paradise, a place so glorious, we can't even put it into words. A place so wonderful, it's beyond our very comprehension. We cannot put it into words. Oh, what a contrast tonight for the unbeliever. Consider tonight the appointment that death brings for the unbeliever. Oh, that time of death, it'll bring great change. There's probably already a fear in your heart if you're not saved and you don't know the Lord tonight, because maybe on the face of it, you're confident that, you know, I'm okay, I don't need the Lord. But deep down in the heart, in the very depths of your heart, in the small hours of the night, whenever you consider what happens when I die, you don't have that peace. You don't have that assurance. I remember whenever I was about 17, I'd just been driving a couple of months, and like every young man, they think they know how to drive. And I was driving home late from Lisburn, and I ended up going down a wee country road near the house. And I remember my driving instructor telling me that you're most likely to have an accident within a mile or two of your house. And I thought it was ridiculous. Sure, you know the roads around your house. Well, that's where you're going to take the most risk, because you think you know. So I tore down this country road well above the hour limit, came around the corner, lost control of the car, through the hedge and over a few times, and it landed on top of another hedge. And I remember getting out of the car, and I remember looking back, and I remember thinking, that's not going to T-cut out. There wasn't a straight panel left in that car. My dad had spent a lot of time putting this car together for me, lovely Peugeot 306 D-turbo, Meridian blue. She was a beauty, and I'd wrecked it. I remember coming home, and my dad never shouted at me. To this day, he's never shouted at me. He might now. I remember coming home, and in my bedroom at that time at home, I had a full-length mirror in the front of the wardrobe. I remember walking in and just looking. I saw myself and I flicked the light on. And there wasn't a mark on me after coming through that. In fact, I got more injured trying to climb out of the field to escape the sheep, which in retrospect weren't going to harm me either. But I remember looking at myself in the mirror, not a mark on me. But I remember thinking, I said, thank you, Lord, for saving my life tonight, sparing my life. But in that moment, I knew that if I had have passed from this scene of time, I would have been present with the Lord. I was ready, despite those circumstances, albeit self-inflicted, from speeding in the car. I was ready to face the Lord. For the unbeliever, however, that appointment means that they'll enter a place of torment. If you have your Bible, turn over to Luke 16. Luke 16, this will be probably a very familiar story to you. Luke 16 is the rich man, Lazarus, and Lazarus the beggar. And we don't have time to read it all tonight, but I just want to leave a few verses with you from verse 22. And of course, the beggar here. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And read this very carefully. Verse 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And I say this reverently. In verse 26, when you think of all the torment and the pain that's been described, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence. See tonight, folks, the biblical reality of hell is not just an adjective to describe a hard day at work for you. It's a reality. I stand on Scripture whenever I tell you about that. What do we notice from those verses? It's a place of torment, a place of conscious, eternal suffering and punishment. There's no return. There's that great gulf fixed. You can't pass from one side to the other. There's no follow-up. There's no review appointment. There's no escape. You know, it doesn't give any preacher or speaker any pleasure to talk about a lost eternity. But we have to be honest to the gospel and to this book, and we have to preach it in its fullness and in its entirety. But the most wonderful thing about the gospel message tonight is this. And this is why we warn you in the gospel. That's why we bring up these uncomfortable, awkward subjects in the gospel. Because there is absolutely no reason why anybody in this building tonight should die unprepared. There's no reason for anybody to die in their sin. You will have been warned before from this platform by far more capable men than me about your need of salvation. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But praise God, the remedy was at Calvary. He died for you so that you could go free. There's absolutely no reason that you should perish, die in your sin, and face God unprepared. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in John said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that cometh to me, that's Christ, I will in no wise cast out. You know, tonight, maybe, I don't know what holds you back from salvation. Maybe you think you're not good enough. Maybe you think salvation's, you know, a select club that belongs to people that maybe grew up in church or grew up in a certain denomination or a certain religion. Rubbish. The gospel is for the whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it so simple tonight? I don't care about your background. Don't care about your history. Don't care about your criminal record if you've got one. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder, in closing tonight, have you made preparation? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready for that appointment with death? Will you be numbered with the believers who know and have their sin forgiven? And you'll stand before the Lord as Savior. I wonder tonight, will you die in your sin? Will you stand before the Lord as your judge? Folks, from the bottom of my heart, can I plead with you, prepare to meet thy God.
Let's just bow in a word of prayer, please. I want to thank Philip this evening for coming. And I want you to remember that question that he has asked at the start and continually through and at the end. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? This last Lord's Day evening of 2020, if this were to be your last night on this earth, are you ready? You've heard simple, plain, powerful preaching of the gospel. How you can be ready. How that Jesus died on the cross to save your soul, that you might be ready. I know that you'd be ready tonight. That tonight you come and ask Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Because you'll stand before him. Everyone shall give an account. May you stand before him saved. Having made that preparation, may you make that preparation even tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for the preaching of the gospel this evening. We thank the Lord for the solemnity and the stillness of this meeting, and for help given to thy servant as he has ministered to us the word of life. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as, Lord, you have used thy child, we pray, Lord, that the word that he has spoken and the gospel that he has brought may be used of God, backed home by the Holy Spirit of God to speak to souls. And Lord, that this night, someone in this meeting, someone watching online, may make that preparation, that only preparation that is needed, coming the way of the cross, coming to Jesus Christ. Lord, give that needed grace tonight, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help sinners, Lord, to tear down every barrier, to be done, Lord, with every excuse. And Lord, that this night they might run to Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, forbid that any should leave this place and go to a lost eternity, having failed to make that preparation. Lord, we pray that rather tonight they will prepare to meet their God. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask.